Yo, here we go. C block, D block. We are finally here. G1 Climax 33. We are knocking these episodes out. We are literally very, very close to figuring out who's going to be the winner of the G1 Climax. Today I'm going to be talking about the matches from C block and D block. Figure out who were the two finalists, who are going to be moving on into the playoffs. And then we'll be talking about, you know, the card for August 10th, which will be, I think, all playoff matches, and that will settle who's going to be in the block finals, or at least, I guess you wouldn't call it the block finals. Like, this is technically C block and D block's final, what I'm talking about here today, but who is going to be kind of like in the finals of the playoffs, and then we'll figure out the G1 Climax winner from there. Just a very exciting time, and very, very cool tournament so far. It's always awesome to watch a lot of this stuff year in and year out for me, to see the different storylines, to see the progression, to see the regression. It's always cool, man, and see some of the new faces and how they interact with some of your favorites. You know, got guys like Eddie Kingston in here fighting important matches, like his match against David Finley. But, you know, let's go ahead and let's get right into the nitty gritty. Let's get right down to it. This is what happened here on August 8th in C block. You know, honestly, Hanare and Tamatage finished off in the first of three league matches. Hanare's striking was really, really cool. We added a nice intensity. Him and Tama always, in my opinion, have pretty solid chemistry with each other because of their obvious history. If you know anything, if you have been watching long enough, Tama Tonga and Hanare have a lot of history with each other, as Tama Tonga is definitely someone who's helping Hanare out and getting him to New Japan. So they have history, and I think you can see that intensity when they fight. And I thought this was really, really solid, some of the stuff that they did here. You know, Hanare's been great all tournament with his striking, with the knees, you know. And as an added bonus, you know, Tama was hesitating later because of a lot of the striking to do the Supreme Flow, resulting in a knee that got him, knocked him down to the floor. And then, you know, a lot after that, Tama finally hit a gun stun, but was unable to hit a cover after that. And then Hanare denied other attempts at the gun stun, and then finally hit the Berserker Bomb and the Rampage Tackle. But it was the DSD. It was the J Driller, as we come to know it, that dropped Hanare finally. And Tama Tonga finishes at 9 points. So a really, really cool bout there, between two guys who are really awesome, and like I said, improving nonetheless. I think Thomas' popularity has definitely grown leaps and bounds from where he was, especially when he was in the tag team with Tangaloa. But besides being in Guerrillas of Destiny, I just remember him being such a bad guy for most of the time a few years ago. And after leaving the Bullet Club, the crowd really have warmed up to what he brings to the table. And the same thing can be said to what Hanare has brought, man. Someone that I would never say was a joke, but he took his lumps. You know, he paid his dues, and now he seemed to be really relishing in his new. He's really found himself, and I think this G1 is going to mark the year that Hanare found himself. And you can see he found himself in the ring, and he found himself as a character also. But also on this night, this match did not really have much going into it, or at least any stakes, other than the fact that Tomohiro Ishii at this point only had like 2 points. And it seemed very unlikely that Tomohiro Ishii was going to be back in the tournament next year. You know, they do gauge the next year's bracket off how well you do, and it's been whispers and rumors that Ishii's slowing down, he's getting ready to retire. I don't know about all that. I don't think he's slowing down in the ring at all, because even on this night, he brought a really good fight, and they brought the crowd to their feet. Nichols' best match is either this one or the I think it was a match with Shingo where he bust his head wide open. Which, either way it goes, this match right here with Ishii was really good to me. It was an explosive encounter. And, you know, Ishii finally put him away with the vertical drop brainbuster. And even though he did not have a great record, you know, it was cool to see that, you know, it was cool to see how well he fought. I think just the way he fought, besides the point total, is going to get him into the G1 next year if he still wants to be there, if he's still available. So I cannot wait to see what happens in that one. And then we had Eddie Kingston versus David Finlay. You know, David Finlay, this match, like I said, would determine who's going to be the top, point scorer in the block. So it has some stakes, and who's going to fight Will Ospreay, man, you know, on Thursday. And so, again, this is a big-time match. And after the intense, Eddie Kingston really took the match outside. You know, Finlay took advantage later by hurling him into the ringside steel, back first. And then Kingston will be selling that back for a while. He's been fighting through kind of like that same type of deal. If you've been listening with the podcast or you've been paying attention to G1, been fighting through something going on with his back / neck for a while now. But again, you know, the Irish curse, you know, hurt Eddie Kingston at one point. But, you know, Eddie Kingston could still swing, and that's exactly what he did, you know, with a lot of Kobashi chops and the Kawada backdrop. You know, a lot of his influence is just all through his offense. You can just tell how much the fans appreciate not only the homages, but just how good of a wrestler Eddie Kingston is. One of the best wrestlers. Had a lot of people on Twitter really surprised that David Finlay pulled this off. That's just how highly regarded that Eddie Kingston is. You know what I mean? So, it's not even just him. I think you got Ishii, you got other, you know, Shingo in this tournament, in this block. So, again, a lot of people were shocked that David Finlay was able to hit Oblivion and take out Eddie Kingston, who was finally too damaged to do anything, because at one point Finlay hit Oblivion, couldn't pin him, because he was too damaged. But then also spinning back fist, and then he also hit his Northern Lights bomb. But, you know, his back pain, not Finlay, but Kingston hit a Northern Lights bomb. But his back injury was just too much for him to overcome and get a pin himself. So, again, Finlay with an impressive victory here. This is probably my favorite Dave Finlay match in this one, even over some of the matches he's had earlier in this block. I thought this was a really good one, you know. So Eddie Kingston did a good job, in my opinion, in this tournament, really just ingratiating himself with not only New Japan, but the fans. You can hear the crowd. They really enjoy watching Eddie Kingston. He got a chance to meet a lot of his idols, you know, do a lot of things that you know that is really important to Eddie Kingston. And he said he's going to be telling TK, he's going to be telling Tony Khan, a list of guys that he would like. He's been sending him this whole time, a list of guys he would like to fight. Who knows, man? We might get a chance to see some of these matches in America at some point. And last but not least, man, after Tama Tonga's match, it set the scene for a possible match after this where not only you have to see Shingo and Evil, but after Shingo and Evil, you would see Tama Tonga versus Shingo, if Shingo won, of course. But that's the big if. They would have had a tie. It would have been a nice little, they would have been double booked, but it would have been a nice little wrinkle to throw into this. But things were just not to be, you know. At the end of the day, it was a lot of drama. I thought, honestly, if I explained everything that happened in this match, I probably couldn't do it justice, because, honestly, this is Evil's best match in this tournament, even with the bull drive at the end. Yes, I hate how he won. Let's just go ahead and get it out the way. Evil did spoil it. He did what he usually does. You know, like they say in the world, you can't have good without a whole bunch of evil. And that's true. But, man, does he make it suck sometime. And we had L.I.J. run in and finally help him, because he brought the entire House of Torture out for Shingo, because he know he can't handle Shingo. That's been proven. Shingo, a few years back, I think when he was champion, did find a way to take out the entire House of Torture with the help of, you know what I mean? And he overcame a lot of cheating from Evil, but not this time. It wasn't to be. Shingo had everything handled, but then right at the end, even after they thwarted the entire House of Torture, a low blow, everything is Evil. So, you know how it goes. David Finlay and Evil advances from C Block, you know. So, they're going to be in those quarterfinal matches. And I'll go over those matches in a second, what they officially are now. But yeah, man, Tama Tonga finished with 9 points. Did not get a chance to win this block, but he was right there. would have had a chance if Shingo could have pulled it off. Speaking of Shingo at 7, you know, Rob there at the end. Ishii finished with 4. Mikey Nichols finished with 4. Nice tournament from him. And Onare, who also had 4 points. And Eddie Kingston is right there at 8. So he finished 3rd, but Eddie had a chance to win 2 at the end. So C-Block ended up being really competitive. But, yeah, unfortunately, in a block with Shingo Takagi, Eddie Kingston, and Tomohiro Ishii, David Finlay, and Evil are your winners. So if you may not like that, you may think this is bull jive, and you know most people or anyone who's been watching New Japan recently would definitely agree. But yeah, man, we'll see how things go. Man, I just have to talk about D-Block because man, Jeff Cobb, I feel for Jeff. Jeff Cobb dominated the beginning of this block. Dominated everyone he fought pretty much. But, man, I told you guys, when he lost to Yano, that was a sign that this was not going to go exactly how I thought it would have went. He was in a strong position, man. If he would have just beat, you know, Shane Haste here, he would have had it won. And, honestly, he was beating the mess out of Shane for a big chunk of this match, showing off his strength, his athleticism. Shane did whatever he could. He tried to bring some physicality back, but it just wasn't meant to be. You know, Hayes kept up the pressure, but again, you know, Jeff Cobb was just able to brute force his way most of the time. But you know, Cobb unleashed a standing moonsault, which was very impressive, always impressive. He tried to go for the tour of the island, but it was denied. Then a running knee from Shane Hayes that got a 2, but again, Jeff Cobb kicking out, just you know, too strong, too big, big drop kick from Hayes. And but they're going up the entrance ramp now, and you know, it seemed like he was gonna power bomb, but you know, of course, it was nothing he could do. Back body drop, and then after the back body drop, the referee 20 count, as you can hear, was getting a little bit closer. And usually in New Japan, they can make the 20 count. Usually it's just a little, you know, sometimes, but countouts happen a lot more in New Japan than they do over in America these days, or at least when they happen in America, it's a little bit more of accepted. It's a countout. Countout is just as much of a loss as a loss in New Japan than it is in WWE. But in this case, no one likes a double countout. And as much as I like, you know, but this is the one scenario where I will say this. Every now and then, you can make a double countout work. I've seen it happen every now and then. Some very entertaining double countouts, like SummerSlam 92, for example, with Shawn Michaels and I think it was Rick Martel, Sherry being the entertaining lady that she was. That was a very entertaining double countout. This, I wouldn't say it was entertaining, but it was cool in the way it was executed because Shane Haste, literally after he did it, was shouting out Zack Sabre Jr., and basically showing that this is exactly what he had in mind the entire time. So yeah, man, it was pretty cool. You know, again, I hated that for Jeff though, because I really thought this was gonna be the year that Jeff finally advanced. You know, he said this was gonna be the redemption, but come to find out, two people he had, you know, one guy he dominated. He always had Yano. He had him dominated, and I think it was a redemption block for Jeff. Now that I think about it, because like I said, he dominated Yano. He beat Shane Haste up, but just was not able to get the count because Shane Haste was literally holding his leg and not letting him in the ring. Double count out. Feel bad for you, Jeff. Yeah, man, it's a tough break, man. Really tough break. But anyway, since Jeff Cobb was no longer at the top, well, even though he's still at the top, but he was, you know, now he's at 9. So now it's up to Zack Sabre Jr. to pull off the I'm going to say upset, but it was going to be a tough match. It was up to Jeff to pull it off. I mean, not Jeff, up to Zack to pull it off against Hiroki Goto. And, man, Goto's pain tolerance is incredible because he was injured and he was beating the hell out of Zack, man. This is a really good match. The Brit was able to land the Zack driver at some point, but he couldn't follow through. Goto hit the GTW. For 2, set up the GTR, but again, counter, Cobra twist, and then he just kind of reversed. He just kind of kept making it even harder, just like torture eventually. And Goto had nothing he could do but finally give up. And Zack Sabre Jr. is advancing. Man, what a nice match, man. That's all I have to say right there. It was a really, really good match. And, one of Goto's best. I don't know if it was better than the Tanahashi match. Maybe it was, probably. But Goto, man, good shit, brother. He was incredible. He was incredible. Oh yeah, Yano's best match. Before I get to the main event, Yano had his best match, in my opinion, against Alex Coughlin. You know, mostly because Yano was not able to really joke around because he got jumped by Gabe Kidd and Alex Coughlin. They beat him down, you know what I'm saying? Gave him a, roughed him up a nice amount. And then did a great job of just, you know, seeming like they were going to just beat him down before the match even started. But Yano, being the sadistic bastard he can be, and I think this is where I would like them to lean more into Yano, but I'm sure he probably just can't wrestle the style anymore the same unless he's going to be doing most of the damage. I don't know. He don't want to always invite weapons. Or maybe he will lean into it again eventually. But honestly, I think he's found a nice safe spot being the comedic relief, being, you know, the person that a lot of people take that break with. But even though in this match, I thought Coughlin did not take a break. He got a really good match out of Yano. You got a chance to see that impressive side of him. And but again, Kidd, after he returned, Kidd would return, but he got powerbombed. You know, Demon Killer powerbomb through a tape. But again, after Yano, showing that sadistic side, tried to stab Coughlin with scissors, he was disarmed by Marty Assignment. And again, it didn't do anything but set Coughlin up to get the finish. And there you go, Jackhammer. He beats Toriano. But again, Zack Sabre Jr.'s win led to a question for the main event. If Naito won, he would be in. If Tanahashi won, Naito needed a win or a draw, and then he was in. Because Zach had, you know, found his way in. But, you know, if Tanahashi won, I think this was for Jeff. I think Jeff would slide back in to second place if Naito won. I think that's how it would have worked. But if Tanahashi would have won, because Tanahashi could not get in himself. He lost tiebreakers and stuff. But, again, the Ungodly number one was just exactly what he always was. But Tanahashi really came out there at the beginning, hit him with a roll up, hit him with the high cross body. You know, Naito did all he could. These guys were just hitting all the stops from a lot of their old, you know, their bags. The dragon screws came out, of course. The corner combination, was awesome. But, you know, again, they hit everything that you're used to, including the aces high to the floor. High fly attack off the top rope again. It seemed like it was going to be time for the high fly flow, but Naito got the knees up. Naito hit Esperanza again, just hitting everything. He tried to go for Destino, but was denied because of Twist and Shout, a couple of them. And then a roll-up, which was a nice combination. It seemed like Naito was in trouble, but he kicked out there. Tanahashi got the sling blade, and kept following the move with another pinning combination, trying to get a win as time ticked down. But, a straight jacket German suplex. Just, again, Tanahashi pulling out everything he could, even though he couldn't win the match. Couldn't get in. He was going to make sure Naito couldn't either. At least that's the way he fought. And, again, with less than 3 minutes, Naito finally turning the tables with another, with a similar tactic that he used early in the tournament. Matter of fact, the thing he used to beat Zack Sabre Jr., was this nice tornado DDT that turned right into an inside cradle. The way he executed it, it sounds unimpressive when I'm just describing it, but the way he does it is he drops you right on your head and you flow seamlessly into a roll-up. And I've seen the move where it's just the DDT into the roll-up, but to do it with the tornado style really adds another element to it, another impact to it. And I really like it. I really like it as another alternative finisher for Tetsuya Naito, and that's what he used. Naito wins, he's in. So in the first place, somehow after a horrible start, Tetsuya Naito finishes with 10 points, and he's at the top of the block. And then Zack Sabre Jr. is at second place after losing to Naito because they both finished with 10. We got Tanahashi with 6 points. He had a really good tournament, especially match quality-wise. Goto had a great tournament, especially fighting injured, finishing with 6 points the way he was. Pretty cool. Yano, who I said at the beginning, I don't need to see anymore in the tournament. I'll forgive it. I enjoyed a couple of Yano matches, so I don't mind it. He can definitely be back, especially depending on the field size. Shane Hayes, 5 points, impressive. Pin Naito, So, you know, that's something he'll always be able to do. And then just being who he is, you showing his personality, I think a lot of people probably should have came away from this tournament with a higher opinion of Shane Hayes. Jeff Cobb just is snake bitten. Cannot get it done. If this was an NBA player, they would say he's not clutch. I wouldn't say that because Jeff Cobb would kill me. But, yeah, there you go. And then Alex Coughlin, 6 points. Very impressive first tournament. He beat Tanahashi. So, yeah, man, this is a really, really cool block in my opinion. I think maybe, I mean, C-Block was probably the strongest block match quality-wise. But then again, then you have to think about what A-Block brought to the you know, table. And then, like, every block has some shining stars. You know, in some moments, D-Block probably wasn't the best block overall, but I do think it was still a really good block, and it ended up having some really good matches, especially as we, you know, tail down the line, and then you got Zach in there. Every Zach match is going to be pretty good. You know, you got Jeff Cobb, who's always impressive, and Naito, again, finished out strong, and he ended up on top of the block. So, yeah, man, the Elite Eight is complete, so now we get now we know, or at least have an idea now of what's going to be going on. You're going to have Dave Finley versus Will Ospreay and Hikuleo and Naito. The way it's looking, they'll be main eventing the way things are setting up. And then, again, second place in C block. Hold on, let me see something. Second place in D block would be, I'm doing this manually, so it looks like we're going to get Okada versus Zack Sabre Jr., which is, man, I thought, you know, had a chance to get Okada and Naito, but Okada versus Zack Sabre Jr., wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, what can you do with that? And then we're going to get Sonata versus Evil. So, again, Sonata versus Evil, personal battle. You know Sonata's going to win, or at least I hope he wins, because, I mean, Evil is going to get a shot at the belt. I don't think we want that, but, I mean, I guess Maybe we just got bad luck and that's what we have to deal with. But Sonata versus Evil, that's personal. We'll see how that goes. Then I think there's no time limit for these matches either. So these matches can go longer than 20 minutes. So I can't wait to see what happens, see which ones creep over 30. Zack and Okada is probably going to creep over 30. Ospreay and Finley is going to be interesting. They have history. Ospreay is going to want his revenge back for what Finley's been able to do to him. And, man, I'm really worried, man, because I don't know. As much as I think Naito should be able to handle Hikuleo, am I really sure, especially the way he finished everything? And Naito is always taking losses for the company and doing what he has to do. You know, so we'll see. And then after that, the winner of A block, you know, the winner of, you know, the first in A block, which will be Sonata. The winner of Sonata and Evil will fight against the winner of Okada and Zack. So there you go. That's going to be cool. So it could, you know, we could get some very interesting semifinals there. And then the winner of David Finley and Ospreay will fight against the winner of Naito and Hikuleo. So, again, interesting stuff. We will see how things turn out. That's going to be on the 10th, and then we will have the final, which will be determined after the 10th, setting things up on the 12th. So, yeah, man, very exciting times. I'm very proud of myself, and I'm very proud that, the few people that I see, I'm looking at the algorithms, I'm getting listens, I'm getting people sharing the podcast, and I'm really, really thankful that people are listening and they're keeping up with the G1. I'm probably going to do a couple of podcasts after everything wraps up. The Double R podcast episode on the G1. I cannot wait to talk about that. Don't try to squeeze that in. We're all in. So I think this is the best method to keep up with my opinions and what I think on the G1. You have to listen to the Mind of Much podcast, because I'm only going to be giving abbreviated opinions on the Double R, because we have a lot to do, especially going into, all in, and then you're going to have all out. So just got a lot of stuff coming up in wrestling over August and September. But hey, I'm excited. I'm glad I was able to get this done, get this out there. And yeah, man, happy G1 time. You know, let's see how this thing wraps up. I'm really excited with the Elite Eight, and I can't wait to see who's going to be in the Final Four. And then we will see who will be in the G1 Climax Final and who will take home the trophy and who will be in the main event, possibly facing Sonata if he's still the champion. facing Sonata in January. So it's going to be exciting times. Best tournament in the world, best wrestling in the world. Thank you guys for listening. Adios.